You are about to enjoy a presentation recorded at the 2021 Michigan Conference Camp Meeting held at Cedar Lake, Michigan. We pray that the Lord will bless you as you listen.
Our dear God, the loving Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you and we thank you that you desire for us to have a sweet, sweet life, to have a sweeter walk with you. And Lord, we ask for forgiveness for the moments that we have not taken you at your word. And help us, Lord, may our eyes be fixed upon you. And today, dear Father, as we kneel before your presence, may our hearts be ready to receive you. Dear Lord, one more request that you please hide me behind your cross, that I may not be seen nor be heard, but Jesus and Jesus alone be seen, be heard, be lifted up and exalted. This, Lord, we ask. And we pray that you please pour upon us a full measure of your Spirit. We pray all this in the loving and precious name of your Son, Jesus. All your children say, Amen. So question, why should we take God at His word? Why life would be sweeter if we trust in Jesus? Friends, Psalms 33, verse 6 and 9. These are one of the many reasons why we should take God at His word. Psalm 33, verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Can you say amen? The word of the Lord has power. So taking power, taking the word seriously, surely will bring sweetness in your life. Verse 39, for He spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. Friends, there's so many beautiful lessons that we could learn from those people who have followed God, who have listened to His words, and for those who have not taken His word seriously. And I'll talk about, and this is one amazing thing when you are already preaching to the choir. You already know the story, so I'll just have to remind you about those stories. Remember the disciples, after the feeding of the 5,000, and remember the leaders of that group were thinking, this is the time that Jesus should be crowned as king. And the disciples were thinking, yes, this is what we have been dreaming about. And friends, do you know what happened? Jesus stopped them. And when Jesus stopped them, all the frustration in the disciples' heart just boiled up. It all boiled up. And they were not so happy that Jesus did not grant them of their desires. And friends, does that sound familiar in our lives? Then when things do not go our way, we get frustrated. We get down, not realizing most of the time that this is not God's way. And if the disciples only listened to Jesus clearly, but friends, they were not listening to every word of His voice because they have a voice in their hearts that they want to follow. They have their own ambition. They have their own desires. They have their own dreams. And as a result, life was not sweet to them. And this is the thought from Desire of Ages. Desire of Ages, page 380, paragraph 1, it says, thus the disciples reasoned until they brought upon themselves great spiritual darkness. Friends, remember when they were asked to ride that little boat across the sea? They were somehow dwelling on that frustration, on the thing that Jesus did not allow them to have. And it says here, they questioned, could Jesus be an imposter as the Pharisees asserted? I did not even know that this is one of their questions. The disciples that have been following Jesus for more than 3 years even questioned Him. Why? Because they were not taking Him at His word. And this is one thing that I realized, friends. There's a lot of times that I have questioned God when He did not allow me to enjoy what I wanted. And actually, this happens to all of us. This happens to most of us. When our plans don't go God's way, then we point the finger on Him and the sweetness of life just goes away. The problem is we don't ask His plans for us. We only present our plans to Him and then ask for His blessings. Sometimes we forget that God knows better than we do. And sometimes we forget, friends, that He is God and not us. Sometimes we forget that He is the one in charge and not us. Let us continue on with this reading. It says, their thoughts were stormy and unreasonable, and the Lord gave them something else to afflict their souls and occupy their minds. Wow. God often does this when man create burdens and trouble for themselves. Wow. And let's go to the next paragraph. It says, a violent tempest had been stealing upon them, and they were unprepared for it. Why were they unprepared for it, my dear brothers and sisters? Because they did not dwell on the words of Jesus. They were thinking only about what they want to do, what ambitions that they have. And when the storm hit them, they were unprepared. My dear friends, does that sound familiar? 2020 is a good reminder for us of that, huh? A lot of us were not prepared for it. But God has been desiring to prepare His church, to prepare you, to prepare me. But since we have not been heeding His voice, desiring what He desires for us, and 2020 happened, we were so unprepared. I was unprepared. It says here, when the violent storm hit them, they forgot their dissatisfaction, their unbelief, and their impatience. Sometimes we don't see the blessings in the storm. We don't see the lessons in the storm. The storm was allowed to somehow wash them with their dissatisfaction, their unbelief, and their impatience. And I believe that a storm is needed to shake us out of our wrong course, that we may see where God desires to lead us. Can you say amen? So, can you say that that what happened in 2020 is a blessing for us? Only a few sees that. Can you say amen? Friends, it says here, when the storm hit them, everyone worked to keep the boat from sinking. Everyone worked to keep the boat from sinking. Remember, these disciples were very, very much undivided. No, divided. They were somehow contesting who's the greatest. This is the only thing here that I see in the story that made them all one. The storm. The storm made them one, friends. And until the fourth hour watch of the night, they toiled at the oars. Then the weary men gave themselves up for lost. They were thinking, this will be the last moment that I see my buddies here. This will be the last time that I'll see my brother. In the storm and darkness, the sea had taught them their own helplessness. And 2020 taught us a lot of things. And one of those things is that we are helpless without God. And when they realized their helplessness, they longed for the presence of their master. When they realize their helplessness, they long for the presence of their master. Just imagine, friends, how many prayers were offered during COVID. And in Revival Reformation website, Sister Melody told me that in just that month alone, there were like 100,000+ materials have been downloaded. In 100 days of prayer, 30,000+ signed up. Did you see this, my dear friends? A lot of prayer ministries have popped up like mushrooms all over the world because of what happened during 2020. And 2020 reminded us that we have no future here. Can you say amen to that? We don't have the future here. We have a better future up there. And just imagine this, friends. Imagine the disciples that were lost in the middle of that sea, in the middle of the storm. I love water. I love the beach. I'm from the Philippines. There's a lot of beaches. You could let me stay on the beach all day long, and I would not somehow get tired of it. But being in the storm, being in darkness, like being rocked to and fro, that is scary, my dear friends. And this did not just go on for minutes. It went on for hours. And some Bible scholars said that this is like 6 hours. When COVID happened, when COVID hit us, I did not even think that that COVID will last for 2 months. I was imagining, maybe 3 months the most. Friends, for more than a year, and we're still, other places, other countries are still in lockdown. Months, weeks turns into months, and months into years. And a lot of God's people are even thinking, has God forgotten us? Has God left us? And friends, they said that 2020 was a year that crushed all dreams. Some people will even say that is like 2020 is like a toilet year. Everything was flushed down the drain. But my dear friends, you know what? God did not forget us. A lot of people were praying during that year. A lot of people were crying to the Lord during that year. And the Lord did not forget us. This is one proof, friends. Listen to this. This is still from Desire of Ages, page 381, paragraph 1. Jesus had not forgotten them. Can you say amen? That line alone is already enough, friends. Jesus had not forgotten them, but it did not stop there. The watcher on the shore saw those fear-stricken men battling with the tempest. Not for a moment did he lose sight of his disciples. That amen is so weak. Not for a moment did he lose sight of his disciples. Friends, during 2020, not for a moment did God lose sight of you. In the cries during your quarantine, in the cries during lockdown, my dear friends, Jesus was watching you. The watcher on the shore did not lose his focus on you. And this is another beautiful description here of how Jesus was watching us, was watching his disciples with deepest solicitude. Friends, I looked at solicitude. What is the meaning of solicitude? With deepest solicitude. Solicitude means attentive care and protectiveness. With deepest attention and protectiveness. Jesus was looking at his disciples. And Jesus was watching you. His eyes followed the storm-tossed boat with his precious burden, for these men were to be the light of the world. And as a mother in tender love watches her child, so the compassionate master watches disciples. Their hearts were subdued. When their hearts were subdued and their unholy ambition quelled, and in humility they prayed for help, it was given them. Friends, did you hear this? The storm has to do something in our hearts that we may pray the right prayers. The storm has to quell their unholy ambition, subdue their hearts, that will bring them to humility. We talked about this yesterday. And friends, we might be wondering sometimes, why are my prayers somehow not answered? Friends, most of the time, it's not just the need, it's the heart. It's the heart that needs to be made right. And that's why David prayed this prayer. Psalms 139, verse 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me into the way everlasting. Friends, beautiful, beautiful promise here. In Desire of Ages 200, paragraph 3. The Savior longs to give us a greater blessing than we ask. Can you say amen to that? The Savior longs to give us greater blessing than we ask. And he delays the answer to our request that he may show us the evil of our own hearts and our deep need of his grace. You see this, friends. Most of the time, and we do not even realize it, a need that comes up in our lives is just an indication that the heart is not right with him. Did you hear this? When there's a need for finances, when there is a need for lack of staffing, of this, of that, most of the time we go directly to the need, to meet the need. We don't come to him and ask him, Lord, is there anything that you want me to make right with you? Because it is always leading to the correction of the heart that God wants to do in our lives. And friends, because of those things that had separated the disciples from Jesus, even though when they were crying out for help, when Jesus came, they did not even realize that it was Jesus. They think it was a ghost that's trying to kill them. Just imagine, friends, when this man saw Jesus walking, their iron grip on the oars just let go. Just let go because they thought it was a spirit that was trying to take their lives. They think it a phantom that omens their destruction, and they cried out of fear. Friends, I don't know about you, but I look at this as like the comedy part of the story. It looks scary, but for me it was funny. I don't know, friends, but I know this is not funny. It scared them almost to death. And it says here, Jesus advances as if he would pass them. Did you hear this? Jesus was walking when they saw Jesus walking on the water. Jesus advances. Just imagine Jesus is walking towards them, but Jesus turned as if he would pass them. But listen to this, friends. But they recognized him. This is one thing I realized here, friends. Jesus was walking towards them, and Jesus just went a little nearer so that they will be able to recognize him, that they'll be able to cry out his name. Did you hear this? This is one amazing thing about Jesus. He walked just near to them so that they could call out his name. Jesus is a gentle Savior. He would not push himself. Not until you invite him in your boat, and he will come. It says here, but they recognized him and cried out, entreating his help. Their beloved master turns. His voice silenced their fear. His word silenced their fear. Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Friends, the Lord allowed a storm that they may see their need of him. When they recognized him, they called out his name. And he came in. You know what? One thing that the storm somehow brought to them, the Lord somehow brought the storm so that they may recognize our greatest need to give him all. Our greatest need, dear friends, to let God take over with everything. Can you say amen to that? Our greatest need to surrender everything to him. Because anything that we think that we could lean on during that storm, did not even help us. Did not even prepare us. But this is a beautiful promise here, friends. In the book Prayer, page 226, paragraph 5, it says, if you have given yourself to God to do his work, you have no need to be anxious for tomorrow. The Lord desires to somehow comfort us. I know that there will be storms. So I want you to take my word seriously. Friends, if you have given yourself to God to do his work, you have no need to be anxious for tomorrow. And the God who asked you to do this, he knows the end from the beginning. The events of tomorrow which are hidden from your view are open to his eyes. Eyes of the omnipotent. This is the God who desires to take you through the storm without any worries, without any cares. And friends, if we go back to the Word, if we go back to the promises, God has given us so many promises. And one of those promises that somehow gives me comfort is the promise in Matthew 6, verse 25. When Jesus said, take no thought. Friends, take no thought. When I look at other translations, take no thought says, do not worry. Do not worry. And I looked at take no thought. I typed it in my Bible search engine. You know how many verses appeared about that says take no thought? Can you guess? Although I thought it's 300, it's only 7. But 7 is enough. 7 means what? Perfection. 7 means completeness. And when I looked at all those verses, they were all written in red. Isn't that amazing? They were all written and read. Jesus himself spoke those promises. And you know what that means? Every single day, Jesus wants us to take him at his word. God desires us to take him at his word. Friends, I knew someone Actually, they're here in the camp. They're not here right now. This is one of my favorite stories, missionary stories of people who have given their hearts to the Lord, who took Him at His word. Their name is Ramon and Shandy Tengkano. They're from Indonesia. They work for Jesus for Asia. And you will see them in the booth. You will see them, those people who are wearing Indonesian attire. Friends, you don't know their story. They were multimillionaires before. They lived the life and they have everything. It seems like they have everything. But they didn't have Jesus. Ramon somehow was convicted to give his heart to the Lord. And this, I'm packing their story in like 3 minutes here. They gave their hearts to the Lord and they gave their possessions to God. They went into missions. They set up a television network back in Indonesia. And every bit of their resources, they poured it out. And Shandy was a socialite before. Very, very glamorous girl. But you could see the transformation in her life. So I'd like to focus on one story. By the way, Shandy came from a Muslim background. Father was Muslim. Brothers and sisters were Muslim. And she's the only Christian. And her mom is a Christian. Her mom passed away. And friends, for a Muslim, if you are the eldest, and Shandy was the eldest, if something like that happens to your family, you're the one who would take care of everything. But during this time, friends, Shandy and Ramon is living a hand-to-mouth existence. And Ramon told me, Jen, it's so amazing that if it's when you're living a hand-to-mouth relationship, a hand-to-mouth existence, when it's God's hand and it's your mouth. Amen? Your mouth will not be bigger than His hands. And God is good. God just gives one blessing at a time according to your need. So when they went to Shandy's mom's funeral or wake, there was no casket yet or anything. So they had to arrange everything. And Ramon was just like sorrowing, thinking, Lord, this happened at the wrong timing. When we don't have all those resources that we've had before, when we were rich, it would just be easy as this to provide for everything. They went to look at the casket. Caskets, friends, are so expensive. It's expensive to die and to live in some other countries, friends. So what happened, friends? They went and looked at the price of the casket in this funeral parlor, and they said, do you have a lesser casket than this? No, that's the least already. And they're thinking, oh, how can we afford this? So they went to the other funeral parlor on the other side of the road. And the moment they went in, the owner, the lady, somehow saw them and he said, oh, it's you! Come in! And they were wondering, they have not met this lady. And the lady said, I know what you need. You have this, you have that. And before they could even ask, like, so how much does it cost? No, this is what you need. All the lady said, this is what you need. And now, the lady took care of everything. The lady took care of everything, the flowers, everything and all. And now it's time to pay the bill. And Shandy and Ramon was just like, their heart was pumping. Oh Lord, how are we going to afford this? And the lady gave them the bill. The bill was less than $20. And then Shandy said, is this the receipt? Is it the right one? Is it the bill? I said, yes, that's the bill. No, this is wrong. This is not the bill. I said, the lady said, that is the right bill. Believe me, that is the right bill. And Shandy was trying to argue. And Shandy said, as if I had money to pay. I was trying to argue with a man, with a woman. And the woman told her, look, he pulled them aside. This is what happened. A night before you came, God gave me a dream. And He introduced you, Shandy and Ramon, in my dreams. These two couple will come to your funeral parlor. And this is what they need. And God gave her specific instructions on the things that they will be needing. You take care of them, and I will take care of you. And this lady was in tears. And she said, that is why I could not accept your money. The bill that I gave you was just for the funeral car. I don't have a funeral car. So that's why I have to rent a funeral car. So this is God who's doing it to you. My dear friends, if you have given yourself to the Lord, if you have taken His word to heart, you have nothing to be anxious for tomorrow. Can you say amen to that, friends? It says here, be not therefore anxious for tomorrow. We are to follow Christ day by day. God does not bestow help for tomorrow. Can you say amen? He does not give His children all the directions for their life journey at once, lest they should become confused. He tells them just as much as they can remember and perform. The strength and wisdom imparted are only for the present emergencies. The Lord wants us to take Him at His word. The Lord desires for us to walk with Him day by day, moment by moment. And listen to this. Desire of Ages, page 313, paragraph 2. All who have chosen God's service are to rest in His care. Every blessing needed for this life is theirs. And God's children are never absent from His mind. Wow. God's children are never absent from His mind. My dear friends, we know for a fact that what we have faced last year, what we're about to face in the future, last year is nothing. The Lord is wanting us to be established in Him right now. To take Him at His word. What the disciples have missed before they face the storm, the Lord doesn't want us to miss. The Lord desires us to be prepared in a storm. And last quote before we go into our time of prayer is found in Signs of the Times, April 11, 1892, paragraph 3. It says, if we have a correct knowledge of the character of God, Satan will not be able to overwhelm our souls with doubt and discouragement. If we have a correct knowledge of the character of God, Satan will not be able to overwhelm our souls with doubt and discouragement. Hence, whatever storm that we'll face, it will never shake us if we know the God that we serve. And He has given us so much promises. He's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Can you say amen? Just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Friends, with that being said, let us gather together. And for those of you who have difficulty kneeling down, just come closer and occupy those seats that are near this square. And for those of you who are at the back, come join us, come closer, so that you'll hear our voices as we pray. And as you come closer, just bring your digital hymn books, or if you have your hymnals, let's open our hymnals on hymn number 4. Let me open this. Let's sing "'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," 524. Come closer. Yes, if you still have space in front of you, move a little bit, because that will be the space of the person behind you. Press together, the Lord says, amen? Let's sing this song. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. Just to rest upon His promise, just to know that there's the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Does God deserve our praises?
Amen.
So friends, as we come before God's presence this morning, as the song says, He's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word. So this particular time of praise, let us praise Him for the beautiful promises that He has given us. So any Bible promises that you want to lift us, to lift to the Lord and to praise Him of what He has done for you through those promises. So I'd like to begin. Your Father would like to praise Him. We thank You for Your promise in Isaiah 41:10. And You said, "Fear thou not, for I am with you." Lord, that has been a comfort for that, dear Father. We praise You and we thank You.
Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know that there's a Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Father, we praise and we thank You for Your great and exceeding promises that You have supplied us, that You have supplied Your church with. And Lord, we know that most of the time our eyes were taken off of Your promises by a lot of things that distract us, a lot of things that earns our trust rather than Your word, rather than Your promise. So as we go into our time of confession right now, Lord, I pray that may You reveal to us the things that we believe more than Your word. Things that we trusted, that we have leaned upon more than Your word, more than Your promise. Friends, let us turn to the person nearest us. Let's pray by twos. And let's spend this a minute and a half asking God to forgive us for all those things that have hindered us from leaning fully upon His word. Just 2 minutes.
I'm so glad I learned to trust Thee. Precious Jesus, save Your friend, and I know that Thou art with me, wilt be with me till the end. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
In this last 2 minutes, let's come back again as a family lifting up our supplications to the Lord. This time, let us pray that the Holy Spirit will be poured upon us, that our trust upon His word will continue to grow. Let us ask for the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We may begin our prayers.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Let's repeat the chorus.
Standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God.
Dear Father, we praise You and we thank You that Your promise, all Your promises are stronger than any storms that will ever hit us. Dear Father, as a church, as family, as one body, as your people, help us, Lord, to stand in your promises. Help us to take you at your word. Help us to heed every counsel, every warning that you have given us. And Lord, we praise and we thank you for what you have done, for what you are doing and what you're about to do. Dear Lord, we desire for more. And you have promised that you will give us so much more if we ask. Father, please increase our desire. Increase our hunger. Increase our desperation to ask more of your Spirit. Thank you so much, Lord, because we know that you will not hold back. You did not even hold back your Son. Thank you so much, Lord, for giving us all. We give you back all the praises, the glory, and the honor, for we pray all this in the loving and precious name of your Son, Jesus. All your children say,
Amen.
Amen.
To listen to more of these presentations, you may visit the audio archives at misda.org/audio2021 or search for Michigan Conference Camp Meeting wherever you get your podcasts.